10 seconds. At the third stroke, the time sponsored by Accurist will be 11, 13, and 20 seconds. At the third stroke, the time sponsored by Accurist will be 11, 13, and 30 seconds.
You were called today at 0905 hours. The caller withheld their number. Please hang up. Please hang up. This circuit is defined as 0208. BT line test facilities. Please press 1 for ring back, 2 for quiet line, 3 for fast test, 4 for fast cleanse, or clear down. BT line test facilities. Please press 1 for ring back, 2 for quiet line, 3 for fast test, 4 for fast cleanse, or clear down. Reminder call service. Dial the required time followed by square.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, DDP proudly brings to you its RFA Tag Team Champions of the World! It's me, it's me, it's that DAWG! And you know I'm mobbing with my main man, DP, where we always kick this shiz knit doggy style! And if you ain't down with that, we got two words for ya!
Security alert, all decks.
After very careful consideration, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your system sucks.
Hey, I don't believe that any system is totally secure.
Remember, hacking is more than just a crime.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
That I need to know, and I need to know now.
You are listening to Radio Freak America.
He's a publicist in New York, and he is basically opens up with him walking down the street, and he's hustling people on the cell phone and stuff, and he's hustling people over the with his publicist assistant, and he keeps walking. He's pretty successful in what he does, and then he walks down and he reaches his payphone booth. He goes to every day and takes his wedding ring off and talks to Katie Holmes, his character, basically cheating on his wife every day, and he hangs the phone. As he hangs the phone calls back, and it's a sniper, and I won't spill any more of the movie, but it's a pretty good movie. Some interesting facts that actually that part of the story is not the story itself. The actual story is about how there's so much phones and so many people talking and communicating in New York. In this payphone, the booth version, is somehow the last payphone booth, which might actually be true. There might be very few. I don't know for sure. Last payphone booth in New York, and it's Verizon has said to tear it down the day after the movie takes place. What else happens in the movie is that Keith Sutherland's character, the sniper, they don't give him a name, actually calls the payphone, actually sets up a encrypted connection between the payphone and his phone, actually a cell phone, which could be possible, and that prevents it prevents them from listening in. First of all, well, they weren't really worried about that because they weren't worried about a warrant. Second of all, they couldn't get a tap trace on it, because he bounced off of Philadelphia Observer, if you will, and he also used a clone cell phone along with some type of other encryption on the cell phone, which I think was made up. The funny thing was that Colin Farrell tries to do a star scan from a payphone, which I'm pretty sure is not possible to. So I thought it was pretty funny. You get action, you get the freaking, and you got to forgot to completely mention it all, which I don't want to mention because it ruins the movie. A lot of funny scenes that you don't expect in the movie, so I want to give this the mute seal of approval. Only good things get the mute seal of approval, like the iBook. Still here, right in front of me. So, you know, it's all good. So I should be back pretty soon, you know. I'll be back with at least another mute message in a few weeks, so see you guys later. Bye.
All right, here we go. I'm Duel. We have just begun to record RFA 58. This is a special episode for many reasons. No, it's not the American Idol fanboy episode. It's the Mary Chan is back episode. That's right. How you doing, Mary Chan?
Doing good. You?
I'm doing great. It's also special because I'm going to get in touch with my feelings this show. I think it's time. That's right. Hey, Stank, how you doing, man?
I'm all right.
Awesome. Well, we have good stuff this show. We're actually going to, well, you'll see. Let me read this email first. It's a great email from Occupant. It's a little long, bear with me. I'd like to express my thanks to you for a few things. M4MS gave me the stickers that you sent this last 2600 meeting. I distributed some of them to people at the meeting. M4MS sent some to Cindy and Kevin at the EFF. I saved a few for friends that didn't make it to the meeting this month. Oh yeah, I'm keeping a couple for myself, as you should, my friend. I like the look and the size of the stickers, and will find a place of honor for them. Thank you, that was very generous. Well, thank you for what you did, Occupant. I'd also like to thank Kleptic for his email and you for expressing your views about the war. I had mixed feelings about how the war barely mentioned it. I had mixed feelings about how the war was barely mentioned in previous episodes. On one hand, there's that don't shit where you eat aspect. Also, I didn't want politics to overrun RFA. It works for Off the Hook, which is a show primarily about hacker politics, whereas I've always saw RFA as a show about hacker technology. Still, I think that there have been technological issues involving this war that have been of interest to hackers on both sides. It would be great to hear Stank Dog's views as well, even though, or rather, especially because his views are different than mine. Stank provides an excellent opportunity to hear another perspective from an intelligent person the community respects. The last thing I'd like to thank you for is the mention of IndieMedia.org. It's an organization that's very important to me. I don't know of any other platform that allows almost anyone direct access to so many people in the world with so many different forms of media. This year I've been volunteering a lot of time at the San Francisco Indie Media Center, www.indiebay.org. There's a lot to learn about politics and technology here. But what really impresses me is how the group is sincere about the cause. Your mentioning IndieMedia.org provides an opportunity for people to see the news in a different way and maybe a chance for them to volunteer at their own local Indie Media Center. Thank you, Occupant, for that email we're going to discuss a little bit right now what he was talking about. First about us talking about war and other politics and political issues. We've actually run across this in the past, and we came to the conclusion that we've came to tonight, and that is we need to keep it to technology. We are about technology. We do touch on privacy, we touch on freedom, we try to impart knowledge upon everybody. But we think that there are many other places, better places, to get information like that about the war, about digital rights, like digitalrights.org, and we're going to keep this to technology. And you know what? That's what we love. And I think when we have fun with it, we're doing and talking about what we love. I think everybody else that shares in the show enjoys it as well. So, actually, the reason Mary Chan was coming on the show tonight specifically, well, first of all, because we want to welcome her back. We want her here. But she was going to talk about one of her experiences. Do you still want to talk about that, Mary Chan? She actually, I'll preface everything if you don't mind, participated in a protest.
Repeated protests, actually.
Repeated. Very good. Did you want to talk about that? Did you want to...
Yeah, I would, actually.
Go ahead.
First off, I know it just kindly contradicts everything you've just said here, but one thing that really annoys me is I hardly watch TV, but every time I do, I notice that for the majority of times, whenever they focus on protesters, it's never, you know, good, noble protesters exercising their First Amendments, like, oh my God, look at these out-of-control pot-smoking hippies. Oh my God, look at them, look at them.
Yes.
I noticed that. Like, I have, you know what? And an interesting story, too. My mother is associated with media, actually. She is a freelance producer, actually. That doesn't give away too much, I don't think.
No.
And she was in the New York area, actually, doing a piece on the protests, actually, on, I believe, February. And it was a really big protest, too, like, huge one, over 1,000 people. And, you know, she was talking to the other, you know, executives and everything. They're, okay, here, go to live feed. We have them here. Go to live feed. And they were turned down. They were literally censored and refused, and they were, like, you know, not allowed to air the protest on air. And the person who gave that order was apparently, like, one of the main heads of the news station.
Well,
and I think that's what the media is doing. I think they're deliberately going out of their way to show any, you know, positive aspects of protesting.
Well, I think you're right. I don't, because right now I don't think the general public wants to see that. I think it would, you know, degrade ratings, and people won't buy the products that are being sold on the television. Anyways,
that's absolutely true. I mean, hackers have always had problems with media for years and years and years, and isn't, you know, not just hackers, but anything. The media is skewed. The media is corrupt. The media does show what views they want to show, and I don't think that's really. That's not really anything to do with war, per se. It's just the continuous problem that we've always had with mainstream media.
Yeah, and that's why we're here. You know, don't hate the media. Become the media. Be the media.
Media doesn't show anything, though. I checked it out. Like BBC, I went to there once. Apparently, there's something I didn't know about, which is there's a plague going around Asia and killing people. It's sort of like an advanced form of pneumonia. This isn't going on the news. I have yet to see this, you know?
Yeah.
Seriously, there's a plague going around killing people. And we're focusing more on the war, because apparently, you know, people dying of natural causes isn't, you know, patriotic enough.
Yeah, well,
you're right.
Actually, I did hear about that on the news. The way I handle mainstream media is taking from all the different possible sources of mainstream media. Don't get locked into any one. You know, go to CNN and listen to what they have to say. Take it with a grain of salt. We're intelligent people who can decipher the bullshit from the real media, and then go over to MSNBC, go over to Fox News, go over to your local news, go to the internet, go to the BBC, go listen to, you know, anything, and what you do is put all of it together and try to filter out the truth from all of these different sources and find what's consistent and what doesn't have bias. I mean, I think most of us can look on, we can watch the and see that there's commentary and people throwing in their opinions and stuff, but you can differentiate the facts, because the facts are consistent from channel to channel, source to source, person to person, and form your own opinions. So you got to handle the media by mixing it and making your own decisions, not blindly following it. And unfortunately, the masses of society can't really do that very well. I'm sad.
I was actually about to say that.
Well, those are very,
and that's a shame, but
those are very wise words. I want to tell everybody, watch public access and or, well, watch your public access channel or one of your channels on your satellite dish and watch Free Speech TV and Democracy Now! And stuff like that, right? Don't forget those aspects. And now I want to, I'm sorry, Mary Chan, I'm sorry, everybody. I'm going to put the kibosh on it right now and go back to my point, and that is we're going to talk tech. Mary Chan's going to be here. If you want, what we'll do is we'll put a special email address up if you want, Mary Chan, and people can correspond with you about these things, about protesting, about war, what you think and what they think.
Oh, well, can I finish my story anyway?
Please do.
Okay. Well, I've been to a couple of protester rallies, all peaceful ones with intelligent people, you know, sincerely for the cause or whatever. And anyway, I was in my apartment building one afternoon, and I hear a lot of yelling, so I go look outside because I think it might be something interesting, like a car wreck or something. Those are always fun to watch. And the college, one of the local colleges, is doing a walkout. And, you know, it's an anti-war walkout, and I'm impressed, so I get out of my apartment, I follow them.
Yeah.
And they march pretty well. They go to City Hall, they yell a lot. Then they go to the promenade. It's like a little area around the mall. And they yell a lot, and then they let people speak, and they let all homeless veterans speak, because I figure, you know, if anyone, you know, can see what, you know, suffering war causes, you know, it's definitely these guys. And they let me speak.
They did. What'd you say?
Well, I said that a lot of people I hear, you know, they're calling, you know, people who are against the war, you know, cowards, you know? And I think, no, I think it's not cowards to stand up for, you know, your First Amendment rights, to say what you believe, you know, and take advantage of the fact that, you know, probably no one's going to, you know, lock you up or throw you in jail, you know? Said we should, you know, stop this war, legalize marijuana, and free Tibet, you know? I mean, think about it, you know? If people who are against war are cowards, then Gandhi must be a coward. Martin Luther King must be a coward, you know? Awful, awful people not wanting war and trying to find other ways to solve problems, you know? How unpatriotic. That was sarcasm.
What was the reaction from the crowd?
A lot of screaming. I think it was a good thing.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. By the way, protests are not masturbation. They're actually effective. Why? Because you're agitating those in power, right? You're getting them to listen to your message, the publicity, good or bad. You're, again, getting people to listen to your message. And guess what? You know what the people in power listen to? You know what makes them gay? Hey, wait a minute. Ooh, whoa, hey, ho. You know what that is? Money. Guess what? You're costing them money. You cost people money, and they're going to listen. They're going to do something about it. Maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. But well, all right. Right now, that's it. That's the end. No more war talk. Now technology. Technology from here on out. All right? Thank you very much. And we're not doing this because of, you know, today's events or supposed events, today being Wednesday the 9th, but we're doing it because we are about technology. That's what we enjoy. That's the fun part. And I got to get to the part where I get in touch with my inner self, my feelings. That's right. Okay, so I've got some email. More email. This one from Mob. Cool handle, by the way. Mob. Duel, what's up? I've been catching the show for some time now and have become very motivated towards our goal of keeping knowledge free. My friend Trez. Well, I'm gonna read an email from Trez after this. My friend Trez, he sent you that awesome intro a few weeks back, introduced me to the show, and I have been an active listener ever since. I've even gone all the way back to the beginning of your archive to make sure that I haven't missed anything from your previous shows. I hang out with a local crew of geeks and freaks in a college town in TX, Texas. We are extreme technology junkies, and we are truly appreciative of the diversity of your show. You touch on a lot of issues that are very real to us. I have been more fortunate than some of my fellow technology tweakers and was trying to think of a way to give back. I have listened to the message now, and I want to make a difference. So I got together with my friends for the broadcasting of your show last night, and we decided we were going to start hosting 2600 meetings right on. We do not currently have a meeting in our city and thought this would be a great place to start. At the meetings, I would like to use your show as a reference. We want to help promote your show and other shows related to the cause. Which brings me to my point. We want to make a donation, but we also want some swag. We are looking for all kinds of things that represent the digital underground, especially if it is related to the old school freak or hacker mind mentality. I have a lot of people that will be very excited if I score some swag. And since I'm trying to get the word out and help the cause, I want to pay/make a donation for it. Thanks for taking the time to read this email. Let me know what you think about everything. Mo B. Well, Mo B, thank you for the email. And guess what? I've already sent him some swag. I already sent him some RFA stickers gratis for free. No problem, man. You know, that's great. Here's the thing. You want to make a donation? You know what? I'm going to open by quoting, and maybe I've quoted her before. I'm going to quote meme. If you have the means, right? If you have the ability, the funding, whatever, if you have the means, use that to subsidize some revolution. Really do that. You don't give it to me, right? Take that money and I don't know. I don't know what to do with money.
EFF.
Ooh, wow, very good. That's a great cause. Donate to the EFF. Join the Free Software Foundation. I think it's like 120 a year. If you're a student, I think it's like 60 a year. Join the FSF. I'm sure there are better things you can do with your money than donate to us. I mean, it'd be nice, but you know what? I will give out the swag, and I think it's more important. I think and I'm getting in touch with my feelings early. I think the special things in life, the things that matter, don't cost money. I really do. I think what you're doing, Moby, by starting a meeting is one of the greatest things you can do. Next, you can take some of the knowledge that you've learned from that meeting or some of the things from your research and share it with other people. That is super important. You've got us, you've got HackerMind, you've got any magazine you can think of. Write an article, send it in, and share your knowledge. I think that is super important. I'm flattered. I'm flattered that you want to donate, but man, I think you're doing it already. I really do. So thank you, Moby, for that email, and enjoy those sticks. They're getting a little low. Getting a little low on the RFA sticks, but that's okay. I'll still hand them out. You got something like that, let me know. I'll send you what I can. I want to go now. Well, wait a minute. The meetings were last week. He had his. I think he actually emailed me since and said he's going to tell me about how that meeting went. Stank, how did your meeting go, by the way?
Well, it didn't, unfortunately.
At all?
Well, it turns out that apparently the scene has just been dead here for a while, and any new people that tried to get into it found that out, and pretty much like I did, just went for one, and then no one showed up, nothing was going on, and then they just figured there was no such thing, there wasn't anything going on anymore. So when I went, I got in contact with some of the people. They have a group, 2600 group on Yahoo Groups, where they kind of occasionally post and hang out. They're, like I said, they're not real active. So I had hooked up with a couple guys on there, and last month we did have a meeting for the first time, and we just kind of abandoned the meeting that was going on down there, down in a different county, and we started one in our county, which did not exist at the time. So I met with about four or five of these guys, and they were all very excited about trying to get something started again and get something going. And I explained to them that I'd be happy to help out as much as I could. I can give some presentations. I can bring papers. I brought some articles last time. I handed out some RFA stickers, all that kind of stuff. But the thing is that, the reality, unfortunately, comes in. And the reality is that there are people that are going to school and are working part-time jobs, and they can't always make it on the Friday because they're working, or they just don't have the time to get it going and stuff like that. So this time it pretty much just died completely once again. So I kind of put the call out again to the to some of the other people in the area that I know and that I've heard comments about. They said they had the same problem. So I'm trying to fuel some fire to see if anybody wants to get together and try to get this going. It worked for, like I said, for 1 month, and seemed to be okay. And then just last week, it died again. So I'm trying to see if I can get a few people. All you need is four or five people to get going, and even if it's just sitting around and talking tech and laughing and having fun, you get it started so that when new people call or become interested or email or whatever, you'll have something already started and start to grow. You have to start, somewhere. So I'm hoping that we can get something going. The problem is also the same reality with me. I've got my hands in so many things right now, unfortunately, so many projects, and it's just kind of hard for me to take on the full responsibility of starting this and maintaining this and doing a monthly meeting as well as the quarterly magazine and Hack TV and just everything all rolled into one. It's just kind of tough to do. So I'm hoping that maybe if I can get some people interested in the area, they can kind of take the ball and run with it, and I'll do as much as I can to help. But I'm kind of worried that it's just not going to happen down here. I kind of want it to be like I hear you guys' stories at Arizona, and I hear you guys talking about your meetings and giving presentations, and I see how many people show up, and I just haven't had that experience, unfortunately.
Well, everybody, including you, Stank, don't get down from Stank's story. You know, we've had meetings, you know, in Arizona that have been, the Phoenix meetings, that have been three people, you know? All you need is two people for a meeting, and they're important, and it's not always easy. And I think you should make time, because these 2,600 meetings are more than just, you know, swapping whatever info you got. It's community, man. It's making friends. It's having fun. It's talking tech. It's having great presentations and learning some freaking awesome shit. You know, don't, Stank, I'm telling you now, don't get down, man. You know, if...
I'm still going to do, you know,
great.
I can to get it going, but I just hope someone else kind of step up with me and, you know, take on some of the workload with me.
Yeah, I think it's important for people to hear stories like that, you know, and hopefully everybody is a little more fortunate with their meetings. Speaking of meetings, our 2600 meeting, we've got a guy there named Slip Mode, and he does some awesome stuff, and that stuff would be a show called In the Now. Well, guess what? In the Now, we've talked, you know, in meetings and online, and we've decided to mirror every show, well, each show for the month. It's a monthly online radio show, and we're going to mirror each month's show on oldschoolfreak.com. In fact, you can go right now, right on the news page, and it'll be there. So on the news page for that month, just scroll through. If it's not at the top, you know, In the Now will be there, and you can download that month's episode and enjoy it. It's really good stuff. I mean, they cover a lot of topics. We've had a con line on there before. That was a lot of fun. It's a great show. Definitely check that out. Slip Mode. In fact, I'll give you the website. It's slipnet.org, and the show is called In the Now. Now, the last email is from one of Moby's friends, actually Trez, who gave us that cool intro. He liked the hardware review last week, Stank. He really dug your hardware review. We've got another one this week, everybody. So here's what he wrote. The subject is XP supports onboard RAID? Whoever told StankDog that is confused. Any OS supports onboard RAID. 2000 supports software RAID and XP doesn't, but any OS will support hardware RAID. The reason is because the actual RAID controller is treated by the BIOS as a single drive. Excuse me. The OS doesn't really see the effect of that. The only reason for a driver, the only reason for a driver if needed is for OS management purposes and also to optimize the OS's utilization of the RAID. Nothing more. I'm liking the show because actually I'm listening to it right now, right on. But anyway, otherwise, compliment StakeDog on that board. We actually got the model above that into the store today. It supports hyper-threading and has dual logical processors to divvy out the jobs. Nice, real nice. Also, the board has its own power cleanser. No more worrying about tweak processor voltage spiking. It goes through a 6-stage process to cleanse the power. Truly the shit. If I can line one up, I might be able to give StankDog a UPS from the store. We jump good ones all the time. Damn. It's because we run an ISP too, and we can't afford to get caught with bad batteries. So every so often, instead of replacing the batteries in an older model, we just run a UPS. Anyhow, I'll get back to you on that. By the way, if you need the hardware hookup, drop me a line and I'll see what I can do right on. Yeah, another review. Any kind of hardware reviews would be cool. Send them in, everybody. I've had the hookup for 4 years now, so my connection is starting to get really deep. Right on, Trez. Thank you very much for the email. He dug your hardware review. What motherboard was that again? Do you remember offhand?
Oh, good grief. You put me on the spot.
I'm sorry, and I didn't mean to do that. Did he mention it? No, he doesn't. Anyways.
I just don't remember the exact model number.
Yeah, you know what? If you want to know, listen to last week's show. Okay, so he liked the hardware reviews. I'm very happy. Guess what? We've got another Stank Dog's hardware review. Bust it.
Well, this one's not going to be quite as detailed as the last one, but the other thing that I had time to do is I had the processor and motherboard last time, and of course I put those in and got them planted in the case. But this is also the first time that I've ever done any kind of case modding. And when I say case modding, I'm talking about the lights, it's got an open window on the side that you can see in and see the colors and the cables and all that kind of stuff. So I bought some round IDE cables instead of the old-fashioned ribbons. And these are not that big of a deal. It's just that I had never done it before. And for anyone listening out there who's always, you see pictures and you see cool stuff on of people who have different cases and lights and stuff, and you think, wow, that's kind of cool. Well, it turns out, yeah, it is cool, but it's not really that big a deal. I was really expecting a challenge in putting this together, and it turns out that it's pretty much already done for you. You pretty much just buy the parts, and you don't even need the directions. It's so easy. You just The case I bought came with a window in the side, and came with a generic fan cover. So, for example, I just, at the computer show, I bought a different fan cover that's a skull, cliched skull, on the side of it and covered it up and put a fan on the inside of it to help circulate air through the case. I also bought two light kits to go inside of the system, one at the top and one at the bottom. And they're basically, here's one little warning that I learned, luckily, before I made the mistake. The light kits that you can buy can be terminal. They can be, you need power going in to supply power to the light, obviously. Well, some of them, some of the cheaper ones, are terminal, where you will actually use your power in for this light, and you basically, you've used one of your power sources, and you could have been a hard drive, it could have been some other piece of equipment, like some of the new video cards, actually you have to provide a power supply to use, like those 9700 series video cards, and you got to be careful that you're not using up all your power on something silly like a light. But the two that I got, and the majority of them, if you're careful, will have an input for power, and then it's basically a pass-through so that it comes right back out and you don't lose any power supply. So you can still plug the other end into your motherboard, into a fan, et cetera, et cetera. So and same is true for fans. Make sure that it has pass-through, power pass-through on them. But yeah, it was a little bit disappointing in that there was no challenge to it. So basically I bought two black lights. So I was thinking how cool this would be to have the black lights. And when I say cool, of course, I mean tacky. But how cool this would be to have the black lights inside of it, and it would give it wouldn't be a real bright thing. It would just be kind of a dull glow, and like I can sit in here and play my games or do whatever at night with a little glow to see by. And it doesn't quite work like that. The black light is very, very disappointing. I actually went to the store that Duel and I love to hate. I went into Compusa earlier this week to buy the round IDE cables, and they make glow in the dark. They make black light reactive IDE cables, which I had never seen before. I was just going to go buy some plain black or whatever to put in it, but they make some that react to black light. And they work, but they just don't provide any light. The whole point of having the window on there and the light kit was so you could kind of see and show off the inside of your system. Well, it doesn't really light it enough to see much. It doesn't really have much to it. So that was kind of disappointing. So if anybody's thinking about doing black light, you might want to reconsider and just go with the those cathode red, green, blue, some kind of color scheme to go along with it. Mine's a black case with a black light, and it's kind of cool, but it just doesn't really have the effect that I hoped it would. But as far as the ease of it, there's not much to it. It comes pretty much done. You buy the light kit, you buy a colored fan with lights on it if you want. I bought a power supply that has a built-in light, so it kind of shines out the back. Some things like that, and if you just know how to put that stuff together normally, you won't have any problem putting together these lighting kits and stuff like that. So if you're out there and you've never done it before and you just think, I don't want to try it because I don't know how, believe me, just get it if you want it, put it in. It'll take you 5 minutes. It's no different than anything else. They've got them down so that you just put it in, plug it in, and you're off and running, and it's really little to no challenge in it at all.
That's kind of disappointing. It sounds like it's case assembly instead of case mounting.
Yeah, it basically has turned into it. So, to a certain extent, that's good for people who just want a cool case and don't want the challenge, but I kind of wanted the challenge of making some of the stuff work, and yeah. I guess I missed out on that.
Bust out a Dremel, dude. You know what you could do for lighting a case? Get one of those, like, push lights you see on, like, TV, I've seen on TV things, Wouldn't that be great? Maybe not. Hey, Mary Chan, can we say what your major is?
Yes, I actually never mentioned this, but in around January or so, I got into a new college. It actually just started in spring, but and now I officially got into an actual, honest to goodness, real college.
Really? And what's your major?
Media arts and 2D animation.
Very nice. And I bring this up. You're an art major. Congratulations, by the way. I think I may have struck upon something, and that would be case modding. Well, using your case as a canvas. Why not? Why not? You don't have to go and spend this money on this stuff, and I'm sorry, Stank, and get disappointed like Stank, and just find out you're just putting stuff together. Why don't you take the box you have and do something creative with it, like use skills that Mary Chan has and paint something on the side of your box, a mural, graffiti, who knows, man, tag it, who knows. Have fun. Be creative. Cut stuff out of your box. Have fun. You ever think about that?
I got a new computer.
You got a new computer, really?
Yeah.
Mary Chan's hardware review. What'd you get?
Let's see. I got a... check on here. I believe I got a Harvard Packer. Is that the right word?
A Hewlett Packard?
It doesn't say on the front here. You know me. I'm kind of like that Iron Chef girl.
Cuisant. I love Iron Chef, man. Well, congratulations on the new box. You ever think about painting it up, using your artistic skills upon this metal beast?
That's the thing, which is, I guess it's like a formal thing, but, like, when I had my truck, you remember I had my truck, right?
Yeah.
I used to do whatever with it, and I would put bumper stickers on it and stuff, you know?
Right.
And then when I got my new car, like, and then I got another car after that, it actually got to the point where I sort of, sorry, a little distracted here. I actually was, it was kind of like, I don't like to, you know, do things to, like, new things like that, you know?
Right.
Old things, like, yeah, if the computer was some old thing, you know, I'd stick stuff on it and be like, you know, then, but it'd be sort of like, you know, if you took your house and you painted it, you know, purple polka dots, you know?
Right.
And it would look cool, but, you know, would it be practical? Could you sell it later on? Would it be good in the future? You know, is it like a tattoo where you look back, you know, years later and go, oh, God, what was I thinking?
It's definitely understandable. You got that new car smell of your new computer, right? And you don't want to mess it up.
I'm not anyone, you know, who does like to do, you know, paint their stuff or anything. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
But, you know, that's just what I think.
And I don't blame you one bit. That's definitely understandable. So, think of case modding.
Hey, if it looks cool, I'd buy it from you.
Yeah, no doubt. And everybody, I want you to think of case modding in a different way. You don't have to go and buy this stuff to case mod, you know? Do your own thing. I am going to give a couple of small hardware reviews myself. Not going to be computer related, but hardware reviews nonetheless. First, actually, I'll do this one first. Hold on. I got, as anybody who's checked out the show might know, I've got my FreeBSD laptop going, and BSD Air Tools works great, D-Stumbler. Well, I wanted something to go with my Orinoco card, and what would that be? That would be a 5 dB gain Omni. So I went and bought, found a company that I thought looked good, that had a good deal. They're called Hyperlink Technologies, and I bought their HyperGain Range Extender 5 dBi Mobile or Desktop Omni Antenna. It's got a magnetic base. It's got an integrated 6-foot cable with the, it's called an MC card connector. That's the connector for Orinoco cards. Very popular, well supported in Windows, Linux, and BSD. What I've noticed, compared to other antennas I've seen, you know, friends that have had antennas, this one is a lot smaller. The magnetic base is smaller. The cable is smaller and more pliable, but it seems to be very sturdy. Of course, it's got that little connector on the end. And again, the base is a lot smaller. It sticks really well to a car rooftop. You know, it's not going to fly off in the wind driving down the highway. But it's small enough where it's easy to just pop on and off. I'm really pleased with it. You know, it's got a small size. Very, very pleased. And it was $30. I don't remember if or what the shipping was. Came UPS. But very pleased. So I can't pimp Hyperlink Technologies enough. I'm very pleased with their antennas. If you got an Orinoco card, check them out. Now this next piece of hardware... where's my old one? Hold on, oh, I don't know where it is. Oh, there it is. Okay, here it is. Oh, no batteries in, that's okay. In the past, I would use, and these were inexpensive, a Bell South 1010 FRS radio. I actually had a pair, and I was very pleased with them. Very pleased. Well, you know, GMRS is now the in vogue thing. So not only do you have an FRS radio, you have an FRS GMRS radio. And GMRS is, what is it, some general, I forgot, whatever, something radio service. It's you need a license, actually, through the FCC, and it's a UHF, like 460, 66 band, something like that. And all the new little FRS radios include both of these bands. They include the FRS and GMRS, right? So it's got 22 channels. They're dirt cheap anymore. Dirt cheap. In fact, I found one so cheap, $9.99, and it again is a Bell South. The model number of this one is the model 2231 communicator. And wow, for $10, it's got scan, voice activation, monitor, Great. It's the small size, got a little stubby rubber antenna. So basically, it's like the it's the successor to the 1010, the Bell South FRS radios. I am very, very pleased. It is a lot of fun to drive down the road, letting it scan, finding people using the channel, and then messing with them. It's a lot of fun. I can't recommend these radios enough either, especially at the price. And you buy them singly, you know, one in a pack. So it's very good. If you only need one, get it. You know, you can still screw around with people and have some fun. So, again, the Bell South 2231 FRS GMRS radio. Actually, I cannot talk about the GMRS because I do not have a license, so I do not transmit on those channels. Was that good?
Yeah, that sounded very convincing.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Now it's time for...
Can I ask you a moral question?
Yeah?
Uh-oh.
Okay, is it... All right. Say you're really... name an old 80s cartoon.
Voltron.
All right. Say you love Voltron, you know?
I do.
You know, it's not even that. You, like, look back, you know, on your childhood days and go, man, I remember when I really loved Voltron. Oh, that was cool, you know? And so you go around, you know, theoretically. You think, yeah, maybe they got it on DVD or VHS or something. And you learn, well, right, I know this isn't true, but, and you learn, you know, it turns out no one ever put Voltron out on, you know, DVD or VHS, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And you go, oh, maybe Cartoon Network's showing reruns of it or something. And it's not, you know? You really can't find Voltron. But then one day, browsing the net, you realize that on your, say, Winamax, Kazaa, you can actually download episodes of Voltron.
Heaven.
Yeah. So you think, I mean, so what's your stance on this? Is this wrong to, say, download episodes which, well, you couldn't pay for them even if you wanted to, and, you know, you can't see them for free anyway? What do you think?
Personally, I think no. I really thought about this. There's actually a college student who's, I believe he's getting sued for $97-98 billion by the RIA because he's running a peer-to-peer network at his college, and every copyrighted song, whatever, you know, which is totally absurd. But what's at stake here? What is really the message, right? Well, their message, of course, is use him as an example and cause fear and everybody to stop doing it. Well, I think that's BS. I think that is fine. I think that information, whether it be copyrighted music, video, anime, whatever, needs to be shared. And guess what? You need to adapt to that. You need to find a better business model. You need to create quality music at a good price. And guess what? People will buy it.
Go on episodes of Clone High. I got 13 of them.
On off of peer-to-peer?
Actually, it's a little thing called... I got them from Kazaa, yeah.
Did you? Okay. Yeah, Clone High is pretty funny. I enjoy it.
Well, you know, if I may, Mary Jane, I think more to the point of what her example was something that you can't buy, something that does not exist, and something that's... And frankly, that's what I use peer-to-peer for more than anything. And I think we've discussed in the past about... there's no illegalities that we're aware of anime, which I know you're into. Some of it doesn't come over to the United States very quickly, if at all. So
right.
The only place that I'm able to find a lot of that stuff, I mean, like Hacksign, I was watching Hacksign quite a while before it finally trickled its way over here, and I think I read something about it coming or being on DVD now, finally.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah, I actually picked it up on DVD.
Yeah, so see, you know, that's why I wanted to see that. It sounded like a good idea and a good premise, so I got that on peer-to-peer and had watched it from someone who had ripped it over in Japan and put it online. And you know, like there's some of the IRC channels that'll translate and subtitle it or whatever. And I think that's one of the great things about peer-to-peer, and I think that's one of the things. And I personally don't feel anything immoral about it at all.
You know, I'm glad you brought up anime. Because guess where anime would be without fan subs, without you know, hand-to-hand file sharing, or peer-to-peer file sharing? Guess where it'd be? Nowhere. You think you'd have Toonami? You think you'd have Hacksign on DVD? Or Rossifon, which is awesome, by the way? You wouldn't have it. All that sharing, guess what, built that market in the U.S., for crying freaking out loud.
And people make a lot of anime music videos where they take music and put to the anime.
Oh, yeah.
And you hear them crying copyright or whining about that kind of
stuff.
Yeah, actually, and I'm just going to say this because I'm a huge otaku. The reason they don't is because there is pretty much a huge don't ask, don't tell deal going on around there. In fact, some, you know, circles deliberately say, you know, never, ever, ever even mention this to anyone who might even be possibly in charge of this, because the thing is, not only are they usually using images of usually copyrighted anime, they're also using copyrighted songs. Now, the deal is, they don't go out of their way to find it, and some of them who do try to turn a blind eye to it. But seriously, like, if you look into this, like, it's very sort of a keep-it-secret, keep-it-safe deal. Well, there's basically this hysterical thing they do at Otakon every year called MAT3K. Basically, it's like MST3K, Mystery Science Theater 3000. They take a bad anime, they make fun of it, you know? But, of course, they're, like, they also have, like, little, you know, little puppets that, you know, are pretty much, like, the exact same ones used, you know? And, you know, they admit that they say they could never, ever use, you know, ever show this to anyone. They could, like, be sued for so much, you know? And so it's very don't ask, don't tell. I hear it's a little more lenient in Japan. Like, you remember that Pokemon hentai I got you, Duel? You know?
I love it.
Yeah, they know all about that, but the reason they don't, you know, do anything is because the Japanese people are smart. They know it's free advertising, you know?
Yes, exactly. And by the way, just like we said at the beginning of the show, we're talking about technology. This is technology. Peer-to-peer file sharing is huge. You know, kids using, I shouldn't say kids, people using computers to share files. That is technology, and this is how it's going to be used in the future and how big companies are trying to change how it's going to be used or how to control how it's going to be used. So this is technology. Yeah, it's totally free advertising. Rant Radio, my favorite station. I love it. I listen to it all the time. Guess what? Let's see. Icon of Coil, Funkervot, Stromkern. Who else? I think I'm missing some. There's three. At least three CDs I have searched, I have bought because of Rant Radio. I love that music. Guess what? I went out and bought it. Big companies are screwing up big time. Big time. All right.
They've got, like you said before, they've got to adapt to the new revolution.
Yes.
The binary revolution, plug, plug.
Oh.
Got to adapt to our new way of thinking and the way that... You mentioned kids earlier, but not just kids, but young people in this generation, we'll say, which is pretty wide encompassing thing. We have a different way of thinking, and we're not going to adapt and accustom ourselves to these binding restrictions and laws. We are free thinkers. We think beyond your limits, and what you think where you think our brains should stop is where our brains start. And we're going to do things our way. And if you want to get on board with it, then you need to adapt to us, not us adapt to you.
Thank you very much. Very well put. All right. Okay, now it's time. Oh, yeah. Did you hear that, guys? I'll play for you guys, too. Freak news, baby. Oh, yeah. My favorite part of the show. I'm going to play for you guys. There you go. Enjoy. There's 50 cents for you, Mary Chan. Freak news, baby. Now, believe it or not, I know this is going to sound odd. This is going to be funny. You're going to say, what? No, stop it. You're lying. My phone bills have been kind of wacky.
What? No.
I knew you'd say it. My phone bills have been wacky. Last month, I had quite an inexpensive phone bill. Very inexpensive. In fact, basically just my basic, you know, Arbok package. That's all I had. And I know I'd made long-distance calls. I guarantee you I made some long-distance calls. I do this show. There's some long-distance calls. But no, all I had was this very inexpensive phone bill. Well, guess what happened this month? Yes, that's right. I got 2 months' worth of long distance on this month's phone bill. Fairly expensive, you know. Luckily, I can handle it. No problem. You know, but what if you were kind of tight? What if you're a person who's a little tight? Maybe you got to talk to your mom, you know, across the U.S., and you say, wow, that's great, no phone bill this month. Yeah, guess what? Next month you get stuck with this huge phone bill. And again, you're a little tight. It might really disrupt your life. And and this is the first time it's ever happened to me. I'm sure, you know what? I guarantee you somebody else has experienced it. It's happened before. It's probably very common. I don't know how it happened or why it happened, but it happened. I'm not actually very happy about it. Please, anybody, if anybody else has experienced this, let me know. I think it's BS. You know, just to kind of forget about a month and then tack it on the month after? I don't know. I think it's BS. So, please, let me know if anybody else has experienced that. I think now it's time. You know, let me set my notes down here. I talked about getting in touch, getting to know the inner Duel. I think it's time I share with everybody what is inside of me. And I will do that right now through dream interpretation. That's right. Not interpretive dance, no.
Today on a very special episode of Radio Freak America.
That's right. Dream interpretation. I had a dream. I did. I had a great dream. I mean, I was excited. I was so happy. Have you guys, either of you ever had a dream where you have it and it's like, it makes you happy?
I'm just
not,
at least.
Yeah. That was wide open. Mary Chan, have you ever had a dream that made you really happy?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a yes. So, I had one as well. And here, you know what, I'll preface it. I'll try to paint a picture. I was in a big city, but I was on the rural outskirts of this big city. And I was at, I don't know where I was. Where I was exactly wasn't important, but there was a payphone there. I saw a payphone, and it was a different payphone. It was chrome and red. I loved it in this dream. It was the booth, the housing, everything, the phone. It was all chrome and all red. You know, it was a little worn. It had some scratches. It was older. You know, it was akin to a fortress. And I, ooh, what a payphone. I walked up to it. And I picked it up, and it was different. The dial tone was different. It's nothing I'd heard before. There was clicks. I dropped in. It was cheap, too. It was like 35 cents, maybe even a quarter for a call, maybe even 20 cents. And I put in the money and made calls, and there were these clicks I'd never heard before. And then the ringing was different. I was like, wow. Wow, that was so cool. Different ringing. I hung up really quick, got my money back. I picked it up. And I dialed another number, just a funky number, right, to get an error message. And the error message was different. There was clicks, and nothing was the same. I would get other error messages, see how many different ones I could get, and they were, you know, different voices and different sounds and buzzing and hiss, and it was great. I loved it. It was so much fun. It was an adventure all in a payphone. That was my dream. My dream. That dream made me happy. That dream infused me, inspired me to go out and find something new, to do something new, to look at the world of freaking in a new way. And guess what? I did just that. Yes, everybody listening to this fine episode of RFA, I went out and did just that. I went out to look at freaking in a new way. I'm sure you've all heard about my bicycle freak adventures. That ride, I get on my hog and I ride around and I dive, you know, a little trashing, do a little boxing, allegedly, you know, check stuff out. But this was different. I decided to go on another freak bike adventure, but it was different. How was it different? Let me tell you how it was different. I went out on a trail through the city. Right? A little bit of urban decay, kind of like alleys. And I rode. I had all my freak toolkit, all my freak tools with me, you know, had my backpack, everything. I didn't use it. I rode, and I kept riding, and I looked through this urban decay, through these alley-like pathways. And I would notice the large cross-connect box, right? There's a big cross-box, huh? I wonder how many pairs are in there. I wonder if there's a riser or a vault nearby. And guess what there was? I saw a manhole cover with the bell symbol on it. I kept riding. I would look at the overhead power lines. I would see the different terminations on people's houses. Did they have a T&I? Did they have a four-post? What was it like? What was the distribution like? I would look for cans. I would look where they were placed. Mostly in public, you know, public places, right? And I kept riding, and I did that throughout my adventure. Not once did I trash, not once did I box, and it was one of the best freak adventures I had ever had.
Still?
Yes?
After you had the dream, you know, and yeah, you woke up, were your sheets all, like, you know, sticky?
Very close to it, very close to it, but no, they were not. No, they were not. My underwear is very tight, but no. The sheets were not sticky, but it did inspire me. That dream inspired me, and that was one of the best freak adventures I've ever had. Just looking, you know, get a feel of the distribution, get a feel of all the wires that are running through this telco system, this huge, huge public switch network, and how amazing it is, and see all the different nuances. I saw so many different crossboxes. Do you know how many different types of crossboxes there are? Well, guess what? There's a lot. And you go riding around, go walking around, even driving around. That's fine. And check them out. And you will see the differences. And you will get a feel of what the telco system is. Trust me. This was a great adventure. Maybe it was boring. Maybe this totally bored you. And if it did, maybe you're just not a freak at heart. But guess what? I bet you are. I bet everybody listening to this show, everybody sharing the RFA feeling with me, sharing the inner duel right now, is a freak at heart. Maybe you mess with computers. Maybe you like RF. But I bet you're a freak at heart. And that, my friends...
Garrison,
Keeler,
talking.
Garrison, well, you know, that's the freak news tonight. Maybe so, but that really changed me. It really did. I had a lot of fun. I know it sounds corny, but in all seriousness, that's what I did, and that was a good adventure. You learn a lot, you know, and it's fun. And you notice things. You'll start to notice it. Wow, look at that. Look at the boxes up on the pole, you know? Hey, look, that house has a T&I, but that one has a four post. What's the deal? You know? I'm not going to go on anymore about my awesome freak adventure. I just hope that everybody can have their own. Find yourself in your freaking, my friends. Find yourself. That was awesome. That was awesome. I love it. I'm going to give myself a hand there. That was good. Okay, let's have some retail hacking, baby. Stank's got some. What's up, man?
I don't know how retail this is. This might fall a little bit under a minor rant issue, but...
Does that have anything to do with privacy?
Of course.
Okay.
Busted. Of course. Probably a while back, I went off on a bigger rant about this, about how I went to the grocery store, and they have these little preferred customer cards or something like that for groceries, for God's sake. And
absurd.
For groceries. I mean,
because you know that government will track all the bread you eat.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, they're going to find out what kind of bread I'm eating and whether I'm using them to... Oh, he bought wheat bread, and he bought peanut butter and grape jelly.
Ah, Stank has a high-carb diet.
On him.
That's right.
No? No, this is just kind of a... Actually, this is more of a lesson, actually, a way to get around there's basically three grocery store chains where I live, and two of the three of them have this new preferred customer savings card thing now that they try to pimp off on you. Used to be, back in the old days, God, that sounds sick saying that about a grocery store, but you could go in and they'd have an ad in the paper, or they'd have a sale every week, and you'd get a 2 liter of Coke for 99 cents or something like that, and you know, it's a sticker on the right beneath the Coke area on the shelf, and you walk out and you pay 99 cents because it's on sale, and you leave. Well, it's not quite that simple anymore. They decided that for them to give you that product at 99 cents, they'll still advertise it, and they'll put the sticker right underneath the sale item. But when you get up and check out and they scan it, it says, you know, $1.39 or something like that on it. So you're like, what the fuck is that about? They inform you that you have to have the preferred savings card to get that extra 20 cents discount, 30, whatever it is. You want to save a nickel on something, you have to fill out this form. It is free, luckily. They don't charge you for this yet. But they want you to fill out this form, and you have to give them your name, address, phone number, yada, yada, yada. And they hand you this little credit card with a magnetic strip, and it's tied to the form that you fill out. There's a number on the form that corresponds with the same credit card, so they go together. Of course, I told them to shove it up their ass. I wasn't going to fill out I told them, take the drink off, and I'll buy the rest of the stuff and go on about my business.
Did you say that right there to the cashier? Oh, excuse me, cashier, please shove that up your ass.
I know that, like, she's the one who's totally in charge of making all that stuff.
Right.
Well,
problem,
which is, right, this is my, like, only, like, one huge quip with hackers and whatnot, which is they get upset. That's fine.
Ugh.
You can get upset at companies, the big wigs, you know, who you know, or make these rules, but please, don't take it out on the poor girl who works at the grocery store, okay? She's 16. Maybe she doesn't know any better. Maybe she does know and it annoys her, too, but she can't do anything. She needs to keep her job. She's 16, you know?
Actually, yeah, and actually most of us in the community think that way. In fact, Bland did. He said that very thing, and I think in his telemarketing article, you know, hey, they hate their job as much as you, right? So...
Well, truth be known, I didn't cuss at her or say anything like that.
I didn't think so.
No, I did tell her, I was just making a joke, but I did tell her, no, take that off, that's ridiculous. I did tell her that. And I'm not going to go into a debate, but to a certain extent, if that were me working in there and I didn't agree with the practices of it, then I wouldn't continue to work there and I wouldn't support them by forcing that down someone's throat if I didn't believe in it. But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I just told them to take that off. I went on about my business. I don't go shop at that grocery store very often. I go to the one that doesn't make me do this. So, you know, your customers get driven away when they do these things like that, and that's how you handle if you have a problem with the company, like Mary Chan said. That's how you handle it. Take the money away from them. Take your business somewhere else. That's how you learn that. But on occasion, I do find myself where I happen to be coming a different way from work or coming home a different way and I have to stop at this particular place. So the next time I stopped in, I was in the same situation, and this time when I checked out, there was a gentleman there who, when he scanned me up, he said, there's a discount on this, so I don't even remember what it was. And he said, would you like to sign up for this card? And I just kind of sighed. I was like, well, I really don't want to sign all this stuff and give this away, and then you're going to sell my name to this list and database, yada, yada, yada. And he said, no, here. He said, just take this, and he hands me the little form. There's two boxes at the bottom, and I hate it when the default is, yes, send me email. There's a box at the bottom. Please check if you do not want to receive special offers through the U.S. mail, and please check if you do not want to receive special offers through email. So you actually have to go out of your way to check them. But this particular cashier, and see, when somebody does something right, I will also stand up and say so. This gentleman, when he handed me the form, he actually took the pen and checked the two boxes for me.
Wow.
Which I thought was very nice of him.
Very cool.
And at the very bottom, those are the only two he checked. He could have taken it a step further. In the fine print at the very bottom, it says, our privacy policy. As you have our word, we'll never disclose your personal information to any third party for use ever, ever, with an asterisk by it. And then an even smaller print beneath that, it says, except when compelled by law.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know what law enforcement agency is going to force them to give up how many loaves of bread I bought last year, but they cover themselves in case that happens.
That reminds me, actually, of a very, very interesting story that I got here. Hold on a second, because I can actually find it here. It's sort of the same thing, you know, which is people, you know, informing, you know, government and people rebelling against it and stuff. Hold on, like, one sec here.
Go ahead and finish your story, Stank, and then she can tell it afterwards.
All right, if you keep reading the privacy column in very fine print underneath of it, there is one more box down there, and it says, I don't wish to fill out this form, but please issue me a preferred savings card.
Bingo!
You can get the card without filling out the form. That's the long story short. And the other grocery store that I had, I went to, and was basically the same thing. So they do have it on there, but the thing is, you kind of get stuck in the line. If you haven't already done this, you kind of get stuck at the line and have to fill it out and hold people up, which is kind of a hassle. But if you do want to protest this and not even have to go through all this hassle and fill it, because, like I said, you're going to hold the line up, and I think that's inappropriate to people behind you. What I have found is a couple other things you can do. First of all, yeah, you can take that, check the box that you don't want to give it up, and they will give you a card. But now, it's still just as bad. I don't like the policy that I have to carry a freaking card around with me just to get the damn 5 cents off of fish sticks, you know? That's
right.
Crazy. So what I do is I just go back in there every time, and I don't frequent it a lot, like I said, but when I do, I just say, no, I don't have a card. I get another form. I click the little box at the bottom that says, yeah, I don't want to fill it out. Give me the discount anyway.
Nice.
And then
very
I
nice.
Just toss it when I get home, and that would be my form of protest. Now, that may be crossing a line of morality, but not to me. So, you know, if somebody has a problem with that or they want to debate that, that's fine. But my way of handling that is that's not against my morals at all. They're crossing a line trying to get information from me, and my way of stopping that is saying, no, I'll make you run out of cards before you ever get my damn information.
That's hilarious.
So another thing that you can do is, and I try not to do this if I can help it, but I told that I was in a very long line, and when I got up, I had the same situation happen, and I said, can I just take this form and fill it out later? And they didn't want to do it, but he said, sure, and he signs his initials on the form, gives you the card so that you can hurry up and check out, and then you don't have to fill a form out. You can toss it out when you get home, or if you want to stay honest to the letter of what you said, which I try to do, take it home, fill it out, then throw it away. You never said anything about turning it back into it. just stick. See, the way I social engineer is I try not to lie whenever I can help it. Now, I will bend. I'm not totally goody-two-shoes. I will bend it as much as I can and work my way through the system and choose my words carefully to make sure that that doesn't happen. But, you can still get the same point across without completely selling your soul. And if all else fails, just hold the fucking line up and refuse to sign the card and demand the discount if you really want to make a big scene out of it. But again, for a nickel off of a frozen dinner or something like that, it's really, you know, not worth it.
Very cool. Yeah, when it comes to social engineering, to each his own. And I think that's very cool. I actually want to try that. I never use those cards. I want to go try that now and see if I can get away with that. Mary Chan, you got your story?
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. My online journal, of course, is connected to a bunch of other people's online journals, and I recently added a lady who has a bunch of very interesting political views, and she brought something up, which I thought was very interesting, and I'll just read it off here. I don't want to credit just because, you know, this person might, you know, take, you know, view the journal kind of more personally, so... And if they do for some reason listen to the show, though, then they can just, I'll give them credit there. But, okay. When the USA Patriot Act was passed, it made it so that the FBI could gain access to business records, a term which has been interpreted to include bookstore purchases, the use of internet at bookstores, cafes, and libraries. And then they added a clause to make it illegal to disclose that sets a warrant has been served or that records have been produced to purchase the warrant. You guys know what this means, right?
Tell us.
It means the library cannot tell you if you or anyone else is being monitored and must turn over all library records if they are requested.
Yes, I've heard that.
Yeah. All right, did you hear what happened next then?
No.
All right. Librarians were very unhappy about this, and some of them got to a really interesting way of protesting. Okay, this is quoting again. The theory goes something like this. You can't turn over to the FBI what it doesn't exist. Handwritten requests at two reference desk, logs of people signed up to use the library, internet stations, and other discarded paperwork all get sent spaghetti style, to use paper heaven. Not because they think that their patrons have done something wrong, but because they're pretty sure they haven't, and if they have, there will be evidence other than what someone asked the reference desk. So here they are shredding, basically, anything that would be asked for.
Very nice.
The department has gone on record saying that its mass destruction is not illegal unless the library destroys records the FBI subpoenaed, because, well, it isn't. The fact that the chances of the FBI conducting this kind of investigation are slim to none aren't as important as the fact that the FBI could. So, of course, enter the shredder. All right. But what about the clause that keeps librarians from telling their patrons whether or not the Big Brother is watching? Or maybe the best thing about librarians is that they're smart. They work with books all day long, remember? They are the kind of people who make technically legal signs saying such things as, "We're sorry. Due to national security concerns, we are unable to tell you if your internet surfing habits, password, and email content are being monitored by federal agents. Please act appropriately." End quote.
Nice. Now, yeah, I think I actually heard something about that, the librarians were putting up signs, you know, at the computers stating as such. Is that, and did that really happen?
Yes, this is, she got the information here from librarian.net.
Nice, very nice.
I had not heard that before, and I think that's great. I think that's very cool.
Yeah, I can't remember where I read that, but yeah, I do recall that. You know, hackers and, you know, public computers, you know, are tight, man. We're one-on-one. So this definitely does affect us. I'd like to see that as well. Actually, that'd be a great thing to see on Hack TV, to go into a library and actually see that. In fact, I'm going to go look for both these things, Your Story Stank and this one. Very, very nice. Thank you.
I'm curious to know what laws the libraries have to obey as far as what kind of records they do have to legally keep by law, what they do have to. I mean, I've wondered sometimes about similar situations. Are they required by law to keep letters, for mostly for tax reasons, I think, more than anything? But... can they, for example, at the end of the day, purge all their records? Is there any need to keep those records beyond a set amount of time? Because obviously, if you keep them a less amount of time, then the longer it goes on, the more people have to pull from. If you delete your records at the end of the day, if that's, again, legally possible for the libraries, then they can't have anything on you more than what happened within the last 24 hours.
Well, like they said, as long as it hasn't been subpoenaed by the FBI, it's perfectly legal.
For electronic data?
Electronic data, it did not mention, but I'm pretty sure they'd be clear about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is something maybe somebody should look into a little further, you know?
And the other thing is, that's unfortunately the sad reality of being being a hacker these days is you have to already assume that, unfortunately, that you are being watched and everything you're doing is being monitored everywhere you go at any point in time. You always assume that, and you always, that's why we use pseudonyms. That's why we use different routes and methods to travel, and we go through different servers, and, you know, that's just kind of, unfortunately, the nature of what we do anyway. So it's kind of understood, but unfortunate, and it's just a shame.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame. You like your privacy, you got to do things like that.
A good quote here from one of the librarians in the same thing. It says, "I am more terrified of having my First Amendment rights to inform and free speech infringed than I am by that kind of terrorist acts that have come down so far."
No, you didn't. That was great. And I have to agree. You know, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Everybody has to consider that every day. Is it worth it to keep hacking because of the fear that it really instills in people? They can't understand. They do not understand the technology, and it scares them. So you have to hide it. I think that's BS, personally. I think that's why we need meetings. That's why we need good librarians like that. Well, you know what? That's a good message. Thank you very much, Mary Chan. I was going to have a surprise hardware review for the end of the show. I'm actually going to save it for another show. Very cool piece of old school tech, and I will bust this on another show. Before I forget, everybody listening to this show heard the awesome intro. We had a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff at the beginning, you know, kind of freak oriented. Those error messages were from British Telecom BT, courtesy of Nick 84. Thank you very much, Nick. Shouts to Nick, and shouts to the other Englishmen in France. You know who you are. And you heard Mute's message. Hopefully that'll be regular, you know, if not every week, every few weeks. This week, naturally, he reviewed a phone booth. I actually wasn't going to see it. I thought, man, it looked dumb, even though the freak angle had me, had me itching to see it. Well, guess what? I wasn't going to, but now, hearing Mute's message, I'm going to. I think I will go see it. Wow, this is awesome. You know, a lot of people have missed you, Mary Chan, right?
No, I didn't.
You didn't? Well, they have. In fact, I know I've forwarded you at least one email, and other people have asked. So anybody, let Mary Chan know if you miss her. Thank you for being on the show.
Mm-hmm.
It was very good. This is a very good show. And Stank, anything you want to say? You know what? I want to say something. I finally got to see Bin Rev. I finally got to see Binary Revolution.
I could talk for hours and hours and hours.
Dude, that is so freaking awesome. It is so... You were right. It's, and I hate to say this, it looks better than 2600. I don't know if that's blasphemy. Fine, that's fine. It looks good. It looks so good. And we even have articles for issue two, don't we?
Yeah, we've had good, not just art. We had very good articles. I've already got a couple submissions, and not, you know, when I should clarify, some non-DDP, because the first issue was mostly stuff that we had written.
Right, naturally, and that's understandable.
That was just to get it started, to kind of get a foothold, because it was a surprise, and we didn't announce it and everything, so there was no way for people to submit articles. So I was hoping that maybe this thing would motivate some people to get some good articles sent in, and so far it has, and we haven't even released the first issue yet. I think people are going to be very, very impressed with the content and the design. Again, just jaw-dropping from Logan 5, just amazing, amazing work. And, we're already getting submissions, and, my biggest concern was quarterly magazine. Are we going to have the content? Are we going to be able to, and so far the community has responded in wonderful ways, so I'm looking very forward to doing it.
This is good shit, so keep your eye out for Bin Rev, Binary Revolution. Listen to In the Now, and definitely listen to RFA.